Evening to everyone. Again,
praising the Lord for His goodness and His mercy, for that great salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, just praising Him for the opportunity to share His word tonight. We won't be in Luke tonight, but we would be in Acts, which is still a book that was, we know who the author is, and it is Luke's account. He continued the account of how Christianity has begun. And here in the book of Acts, we see it is a really exciting, if you read the first part of Acts, there is that excitement. It's fast moving, the account of when our Lord Jesus Christ, what He did to the disciple, to the apostles, and through His disciples, after our Lord Jesus Christ, when He is risen from the dead and ascended back into heaven. So we know, we see there that there is this events that had happened. These are the exciting times. These are exciting times. We could see here that the church has been born. Church has been born. People are coming to faith in Christ in their hundreds and thousands. The church is growing rapidly. There is this growth, and many people are being saved. But there's a problem. There was a problem. Now it is under attack. The church is under attack. And Satan, he's looking for ways. He's trying different ways to attack the church. In the first five chapters, particularly the chapters 3 and 4, we discover that the church is under attack. Attack from persecution, from threatening, from ridicule. Here we see that the disciples, the apostles, they are being imprisoned. So we could really see that the work of Satan to attack the church. And with this threatened, they are even threatened of death if they continue to talk about the Lord Jesus. And when we can see that in the passages in Acts, when they are preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, what did they say? Stop preaching. And what is that preaching? What is that the apostles have been preaching? It was the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead, and He is a living Savior. He is a living Savior, and that's what they want. They were told to stop doing that. And so the devil is seeking to disrupt the church. He wants this work to stop. He is seeking to make the church powerless. I've been praying to the Lord over the new year. Lord, what is it? It's a good time for us believers to some try to make goals. Others would try to reflect on the past year. Some would think about, Lord, what should be my goal? What should be my goal for this year, for this coming year? And then it gave an impression to me in my heart through His word that what we will be looking at is the same. It might be something that all of us believers should be praying for. But here we see that the church is under attack, even the purity of the church. You could see that the purity of church was also attacked by Satan. There is an account. we know, familiar to us, this event, where this young, where this man, what did he do? So there was this hypocrisy came to the church. This man came, and what did this man say? He said, he's given all that he gains from the sale of his land. He gave all that, the sale of his land to the church. This was the time when they are giving for the need of the church. When in fact, what happened to this account? He kept half. He kept back a half of it, of the sales. And what was the immediate result of that? He suddenly died. And that account is in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. And then maybe many people would say, ooh, we hope that our church would be a church like the church in Acts during that time. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful because, we know that the Lord hates hypocrisy. And through hypocrisy, the purity of the church was being threatened. But despite that threat to the church, on every occasion, what would we see? If we go through Acts, we could see the power of the Holy Ghost. On all occasion, we could see that the church has been preserved. The purity of the church has been preserved through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Through the graces of the Holy Spirit. The church met the challenge and it's continuing to grow. So there were persecution, they were being put to jail, but it continued to grow. And the one that we will be looking at tonight, it is another challenge to the church. So the early beginning of the church, there were physical ways to stop them. But this time, it is a very subtle attack. It is a very subtle attack. Something that is designed to drain away a life of the church. Something that is designed to make the church less effective. To be less effective. And something designed to stop it being the means whereby people come to faith in Christ and are saved and have eternal life. And this is a very subtle attack of the enemy. Let's look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. In verse 1 we read, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of an honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus,
and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we just go through some insights tonight's reading. Lord, again, we praise thee, Lord. Lord, we give thee glory. Thou alone should be praised. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that through thy word, thy name be magnified, Lord, and nothing, Lord, from us. We cannot do anything, Lord, by ourselves, unless it's you, Lord, who would work within us. Lord, so, Lord, I just pray that you speak to us, Lord, give us the right heart, soft heart to receive thy word. We just pray, Lord, that you would not allow the enemy to disrupt us, Lord. And we just pray, Father, for thy power now to work within our lives. This we ask in the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Here we could see the subtle attempt of Satan to drain away the life, the evangelistic life of the church. And what was happening here is because the number of disciples are growing and increasing, so the actual nature of the church is beginning to change. People are being added. There are different, we could see here, there are different groups that are within the church. We could see here in verse 1 here, it says here, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. So there are Grecians. We have the Hellenistic Jews, Jews of a Greek background, Greek-speaking Jews. And who else are there here in this account? Against the Hebrews. And these are the Hebraic Jews. Hebraic Jews who almost certainly they speak Aramaic. There's this two groups of Jews who are... There's differences in terms of their cultural backgrounds. And they are there in one church. So because the people are selling their possessions and sharing with each other, because the church was having an impact in their community, we find that the problem arises. There is a problem that arose. What was that problem? The Grecians there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. What did they say? Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. Notice that the complaint is not from the widows. It wasn't the widows that were complaining, but it was a complaint from the Grecian Jews, Hellenistic Jews. Not the widows, they're not necessarily complaining, but someone from their ethnic group. Someone from their group. Widows are being neglected. They are unfairly treated in the distribution of the public charity in the church. That's what they were saying. And so the complaint was made. Was laid down. Now, here is a possibility of the church fellowship being disrupted and split. There is the possibility. But the apostles are very wise. The apostles are very wise in this case. They're wise because they deal with the problem very quickly. Very quickly.
They did not wait. They did not fester. They don't allow complaints to be made over and over, to be repeated. So once this problem arose, what did they do? As soon as the complaint was made, we could see that the apostles took action. They deal with it immediately. And we could see that they deal with it collectively. They deal with it collectively. Here we see they took it, they took the problem to the church. You see in verse 3, the action, how they deal with it. They deal with it justly. It says here, verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves..." So that's what they deal with. Appoint 7 wise, spirit-filled men. This man mainly came from the Hellenistic, Jewish, Grecian, Jewish background to deal with this problem. And then they get the approval of the whole fellowship. We see that in verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose..." So you go through the names of we have Stephen there, we have Philip, there's Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. They deal with it. They give the reason why they do not allow this problem to worsen. The apostles were thinking ahead of time. If this is kept in the church longer, imagine the result. The church could split, and then believers will be divided. They deal with it in a truly spiritual way, because it is important that this problem is dealt with. And the important thing here is that they within the church, within the fellowship, there should be there is justice. So if there is a complaint, it's not that they wanted to give favor to one group, but there should be justice. There is that fairness, and that should be the norm. Even within the church, there can be no favoritism because of ethnic background. There can be no favoritism of cultural differences in the true church of God. And so we see here, they deal it quickly, they deal with it, and they give the reason why they deal with it quickly. And one reason is this. Verse 2, "And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God." It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The apostles are giving importance to the word of God. We heard this morning the importance of that anchor, our lives, our faith, anchored in God's Word, in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And the apostles, they know the importance of the Word. It is not reason for us to leave the Word of God. So how important is the Word of God in our lives? Is it something that we truly, if we say that this is the food for our spiritual needs, do we long for it? Do we seek it?
Do we seek it? Or we,
that's why if we think about the year, the new year coming, if you reflect about the year that had passed, Lord, how did I prioritize your word? How did I prioritize your word? If we say that this is the food for our soul, do we seek it every day? Do we find time to read His word? And that's the important thing here for the apostles. They said, we would not leave the word of God. It's not that they're saying that, we're apostles, it's a bit belittling that you are asking us to serve tables. It's not the case. But what was said here is that what they wanted to give attention for is that the prayer is attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's what the apostles are trying to say. Now, this is not one ministry important than the other. Doesn't mean that serving the ministry of the seven that was appointed would solve the problem in the church is extremely important than the others. But the apostles have seen the danger here. They've seen the danger. What is the danger? The danger is that anything that distracts the church from the main objective of its existence has to be dealt quickly. It has to be dealt quickly. So what is the main existence of church? Why is it there? What is the purpose? What is the reason the church was there? The church is the only organization that exists primarily not for itself. Not for itself. The church does not exist only for itself. In actual fact, the church exists for the lost. The church exists for the lost. The ministry of the church has to be centered on those who are not Christians. That is why it was there in the first place. Rather than being only centered on those who are Christians, we exist for the salvation of those who has not come to know Jesus Christ. Because knowing Jesus Christ is the most important thing. It is the most important thing that could ever happen to any person, to any age, to any culture, to any country. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the most important thing. Earlier I mentioned about how the church was beginning to work, the start of the church, the early church reminds us that our first priority is to get the gospel out, is to get the gospel to those who have yet to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That free gift, that is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary for man's sins. And then there is that once that they've started going out, yes, there is that first there was what they call the outward focus. Okay, we'll bring the gospel out. And now when they've started to come in, people gathering together, there is also the inward focus, of course, within the church. Serving one another. The focus up to this point in the book has been outward. So during the times, first few chapters, it was outward, reaching people, telling them about Christ, the one that was crucified, the Lord and Savior whom they've crucified, died, bled, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. On the third day, he rose again. On the third day, he rose again. Knowing Christ, and we can see constantly again and again, we see in the passages. So there was that primary mission of the church. There was the need for believers or for the world to hear the gospel. There was that need. And we could see from following chapters, we could see how the church was organized. It is in Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 26. We're not going to go there, but for references, how they should be able to reach out, how to effectively reach out, effectively. And then we see how the Holy Spirit arrived in chapter 2, to empower them. And there was the result. There is a result. When the number of disciples were increasing, and we see it in verse 7 in our text, in verse 7 of chapter 6 of Acts, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. There was that increase. Increasing number of people who come to know God. Those who come and are saved from their sin. People who come to have everlasting life and spend the eternity with God rather than spending eternity in hell. That is the important thing. That is the important thing in the church. That the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ be preached. And we praise God. We praise God that should be our prayer. Lord, we pray for our church. That we should not be distracted. The apostles knew the time that they would be distracted with activities. Serving. Yes, it is important to serve. But they should not be distracted on the main thing, which is to preach the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those who should be praying for the ministry of the word, if you are praying, those who should be spending prayer together, that God would pour out His Spirit upon the lost when the gospel is preached. Pray. Lord, we pray that souls be saved when your gospel, when your word has been preached. Pray. When tracts are being given, Lord, pray that this word would touch the heart, anyone that would receive it. Pray. Those who should be studying God's word so that they could feed spiritual food. Those who come to hear God's word and to know Christ and to love Him and to serve Him and honor Him and glorify Him. In those, sometimes in the ministry, there are a lot of things to do. I'm sure if you think about itinerary for pastor, I'm sure there's so many things that he's thinking. In the ministry. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Solving problems. Those who would come to pastor, they would speak to them.
it would not be easy. But the apostles saw the danger. They know that there is a danger. It would have been wonderful if pastor could do everything. He plays, he preach, he can do everything. But no pastor, no minister, no preacher can do everything, whatever happens in this church. And that is why we need to think. What is it? What is the most important thing? You think about service. And there's a lot of things that can be done, should be done. And one person, two person, three person, cannot do it. It needs the whole church. The whole church serving the Lord. So that is the main thing. That the word of God be preached. Why? Because there's something that the apostles knew. What is it that they knew? They knew that the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. And they know that. They know that this message of Christ, dying for our sins, this message of Christ, rising from the dead, the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, overcoming Satan, defeating death, giving those who trust in Him eternal life. The message of Christ, having returned to glory and being on the throne near the Father as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And one day He will come back for His own. This is the gospel. This is the most important thing. This message of Christ, who alone has the authority not only to forgive sins, but forgive all sins. And this message should not be stopped. And we pray that this should not drain. That, here in this account, it should not drain the apostles in doing other things, but for them to be able to focus continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So this is another attack. That Satan, what he wants is that the church would be powerless, less effective. If a church starts deviating from what it's supposed to be doing, preaching the gospel, Satan will be glad. We are in a multicultural church fellowship. We know each other. We are in different backgrounds culturally. And maybe in the past, what I've seen, there were complaints that came up, and there may be complaints that will come up. But pray. Pray that our church, the leadership, would be quick to address those complaints. That it would be addressed justly, that it would be addressed fairly. And of course, the delegation of responsibilities. Again, we don't really hear pastor says, please, you do this, please do that. But it would be helpful. It would be very helpful if each and everyone would. What can I do? What can I do? What can I help? Think about that. If you notice something that needs to be done, speak to us. Speak to pastor. We can deal with it. We can look into it. Delegate. But continue also to pray. Most important thing. What is it? The word of God be preached in Bethel Baptist Church. Because it is a powerful word. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did our Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 20? John chapter 20. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Even so send I you. He said this to the disciples. It is for us believers. He's sending us so that the power of God unto salvation would be seen. We pray that our church would be a church, continue to be preaching the gospel for the lost sinners. That anyone who would come in here would sit down, sit on those chairs, would hear that gospel. And their hearts would be touched by His word, by God's word. And they would come to realize, come and confess their sins. That they would see the joy, see the infilling of the Holy Spirit, see the joy of serving Him, serving the Lord. They may be assured of eternal life. I will close in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 10 it says here, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's what the Lord wants His church to be, of the same mind. Same mind that the heart of the church is to reach the lost souls. Reach for that lost souls. In verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." In verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." It is the power of God. So as we close, we pray that this would be the heart. Lord, I pray that you would use me this year more to reach others, to reach people who are lost, those that have not come to Christ. That should be our prayer. Our Lord Jesus is coming very soon. He is coming very soon. And then we sing here about His return, wonderful hymns. But sometimes we need to think about, Lord, please use me. Use me that there would be one sinner that I could share the gospel. May the Lord bless each and every one of you, of us tonight. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father in heaven, just grateful again, Lord, for this time that we are able to look into Thy Word. We know that The enemy, Satan, is always looking for ways to disrupt that work. We know that we are saved, and the only way that he could do is you make us less effective for your ministry. Lord, we just pray, Lord. We humble ourselves to thee, Lord. Please forgive us for the times that we've neglected thy word, times that we've neglected sinners, Lord, in our lives, that we didn't prioritize in sharing thy word. Lord, just pray, Lord, that you would have mercy and help us, Lord. Lord, we know that thy word is power. There is power in thy word. And Lord, it is you who goeth forth. So Lord, just give us courage, wisdom to share thy word. Lord, we pray for our church, that you continue to use the church as place to reach out people, lost sinners. That we may continue to pray, and that we may continue to stand up, speak about the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone who has not come to know you yet. Lord, bless this time now, Lord, and again, we give thee all the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.